Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. I'm David Reed. This is Marek Larwood.
Hello, listeners.
And we have a special guest this week, who is currently being licked by Buddy the dog. Buddy.
I normally pay very good money for this, down at Battersea at midnight.
It's Mr. Paul Litchfield. Hello.
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me, chaps.
No, our pleasure. Our pleasure. Paul, are you a film buff?
I am
film
a
fanatic?
Film freak, my friends. I'm on what used to be called Love Film, but now it's Amazon Prime.
Yes.
So I watch about six a week. I really do.
You really get a pick of the films on Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of dog movies on there.
What really annoys me is they have constant troubles with the studio getting right. So, like, you'll have films that have just come out recently, and then you have to wait like 3 months before you can actually get them onto the, sent to your house. And of course, now we can stream TV shows, but it's not like Netflix, really.
I was just taking a photo, which I'll put on the website, of all the while Paul was very professional.
All boys together.
He was being licked to death by Buddy during that, and Buddy is the dog, which is David's dog.
He
was very professional. He still maintained non-radio silence.
Almost like it's happened before.
I've licked you before in Edinburgh, I'm sure, Marek.
Yeah, everyone does.
And you maintain constant comedic silence.
Everyone does in Edinburgh. At Amazon Prime, I've got that for a week. It's total shit, though, isn't it?
It's not as strong as
Netflix,
but it's Netflix isn't as strong as Netflix, if you know what I mean. I mean, in America, Netflix is better than over here. They're good for TV shows at the moment, and the movies, it's just too much of a scattergun. You just like,
but the search engine's rubbish, isn't it?
What? Yeah, it's
because you actually put things in there, you can find films aren't recommended for you.
Yeah,
there's the recommendations. Oh, and the
Netflix
ones.
Algorithm.
Do you use recommendations? Because I've never.
No, I go to new releases.
Yeah,
and then I just sort of go.
And you go, oh, they haven't added much.
Yeah.
No, that's the problem. They don't add. You know, they go like, and we're just releasing something now. It's called The Deer Hunter, and you're like, really?
Yes.
Been out for a bit. So all the new releases, well, things that have come out of the cinema 4 months ago, are still not there. I only just got last week Wolf of Wall Street.
Well, they're starting to go through Blinkbox first and these pay-per-view ones first. So they go to iTunes or whatever Microsoft's equivalent is.
There's Google Play. You can get
Google Play
as
well.
Yeah, Google Play.
And then, so they'll go there for a while and then I think they can finally filter through once their sales have started to diminish to
right.
these other ones. But, yeah.
It's like
I'm currently on Netflix and Amazon Prime.
Oh,
just to sort of try
and must be a millionaire, mate!
No, quite the opposite, because I'm subscribing to all these things.
Why do you wear that platinum hat?
My neck's very naturally
long. It must cost you loads. You're not on Sky as well, are you?
No, I'm not on Sky.
Good old traditional British Freeview. That's what we like. I've just suffered from a loyalty thing, that's all. Like, I've been with the same mobile phone company since I first ever bought a mobile phone. Same bank since I first ever opened a bank account. I just can't be bothered to go anywhere else. So I go, you know, I'll stick with you guys. I know you've changed your names and you've changed whatever. As long as
but they're all as bad as each other.
They're all as bad as each other. It's bonkers Britain.
Mm.
I tell you now.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I have watched a lot of interesting stuff, I have to say, via the old Amazon Prime.
What have you seen recently?
Nowadays, it's so nice to just watch something that isn't English or American, for example. To just watch a lot of, like, weirdy stuff made in Poland and go, what? My girlfriend explains to me what that means in contemporary culture, because she's Eastern European. And I go, oh, okay.
What have you seen that you've liked?
Oh, gosh, so much. There's so much, and now I'm not going to remember any of it. I like Blue is the Warmest Colour.
That is my favourite film.
Yeah, Married in Love.
Oh, really? Yeah, it's great,
fantastic,
isn't it?
Fantastic, yeah.
Really good film.
And the lesbian scene actually spoils it, because that's not the best thing. That you call the, we talked about that.
It's a really long
it's 7 minutes
scene.
Is it?
Yeah. Isn't it, Marek?
I was watching the cinema, I need to go to the loo, and I thought, I'll go to the toilet next bit, and I thought, I can't go within, because it's 3 hours long, I can't go without, within 10 minutes of that scene.
Can't stand up with these shorts on, just in case. Yeah, but I love that film.
It got, we talked about it before, like it went on about, everyone talking about that was the main thing about the film, but it was just amazing performances.
I really enjoyed that, I thought it was rather good. In fact, there's been a lot of stuff with colours as a reference.
Well,
really,
that's one point we've been talking about, how most films with blue in the title are very good.
Yeah, I mean,
Blue Ruin is my favourite film.
Blue Ruin I've seen as well, that was very good.
It's been debunked recently with Blue Juice, hasn't it? But
yeah. the two things with Hunt or Hunter are normally good, or Blue.
I think you're right.
So yeah, we were going to make
it's got to be blue, it can't
blue
be any other colour.
Blue Hunt's got to
like
be
red
is rubbish.
Rubbish,
yeah.
Three colours red. Because
I've never seen the three
Hunt for Red October has Red and Hunt in it, doesn't it? So
it does,
that's why it's a mediocre film.
Isn't there things like Red Dawn and stuff like that? What's that?
Red Dawn?
Red Sonja?
Red Sonja,
yeah.
Reds. Not Red or Red 2, Reds.
Or Threads.
Now we're just thinking of things that rhyme, so let's go on to green now.
Well, hang on. It's not about colour, it's about film. We were going to talk this week, we saw Netflix have started doing their own films as well. They make all their been known for doing
Netflix originals. I mean, they started doing TV. They've become a studio, so they started just commissioning things that other people had cancelled, and then there was a backlash against, and they go, we'll pick those up. So Arrested Development being the most famous example, but now they've grown and are commissioning their own content as well. So Marek pointed us to this documentary.
Yeah, I was looking at sports documentaries. Every now and then, you think, I fancy watching one of these sports documentaries, like on a Sunday night normally.
Yeah.
And I looked at, and I put into the Netflix search engine baseball. It came up, it was just been released, a thing called The Battered Bastards of Baseball.
Which is an amazing title, anyway.
Yeah.
Great.
I mean,
that's
for
a brilliant title.
Yeah. I wonder if, because you can't have, there's something about you can't, I was talking to my friend Paul, how the British Film Certificate people, you can't have bastard or a swear word in the title. That's why Inglourious Bastards is written differently.
No, is that why they did it? I thought that was to tell Americans how to pronounce it.
No, I think I've heard you're not allowed to have a swear word in the title of a film for it to be approved by the British Council.
Hang
on. Never, it's wrong.
Isn't there a film version of the place Shopping and Fucking? And
is
I'm
it,
sure.
Is it, has it got the stars and asterisks in it?
I don't think it does. But I don't know. I'm just making this up, Mark. I just want you to go.
Well, I don't know fully. I mean, if you want to write in and tell us, how do they do that, David?
Well, you can email us, dearfilmfandango@gmail.com. Or if you want to talk to each other and sort of ignore us entirely, then go to facebook.com/filmfandango. Or you can tweet us @filmfandango or @MrDavidReed or @MarekLarwood. Do you have a Twitter?
Or send a letter.
Send
a letter. And your address.
Don't give them my address.
Or you could talk to me about film at P. Litchfield. No, let me tell you my email. I'm just Mr. P. Litchfield on Twitter, because there was already someone called Paul Litchfield.
Yeah, I'm Mr. David Reed for the same reason. Yeah.
Swine.
I've just put in, sorry to our 9-year-old, who must be 10 now, if he's still listening, 10 listener.
Yeah.
I've just written fuck into IMDb.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Google.
It's come up with some crappy, a few rubbish things.
I'm now expecting to be there, like a nice picture in the local newspaper tomorrow, the police escorting you at the house, holding up your laptop.
I was doing a search for a podcast, I swear. Yeah,
you looking really disgraced.
But anyway, The Battered Bastards of Baseball, which it is called, but they've done no publicity for it, so they've probably not had to cross that bridge.
They did one called Short Game before about the kids' golf tournament, which is really boring.
Is it boring? Because it was recommended on Netflix after The Battered Bastards
of Baseball.
I thought
it was pretty dull. Battered Bastards of Baseball is an amazing story.
Do you want to tell the listeners the setup to this?
So, basically, Kurt Russell, who we all know, from lots
That's
of
right.
films.
You weren't expecting that as the way into this baseball story.
Who we all know and love.
From Escape from New York and what other films do I like? When they jumps off.
Big Trouble in Little China.
Big Trouble in China, another one.
And what's the kidnapping one called? That's a brilliant film.
Swept Away.
No, with a truck.
His wife goes to go and make a phone call. He waits by the side of the road and then goes to the cafe and goes, "Well, my wife came in." They're like, no.
It's a mate. It's really
it's scary, brilliant film. And then he spends the rest of time in this hick town trying to track down his wife. I know we're going into loads of circles.
No, that's how
Isn't
this works.
Isn't it called Break?
I know exactly.
I'm
going to
call it Breakaway. But it's not called that.
It's called The Vanishing. No, it's not called The Vanishing.
No, The Vanishing's a different one.
That's a French movie originally, isn't it?
Yeah, and then they've remade it twice. But one of them is... the girlfriend who goes missing at the beginning is Sandra Bullock in The Vanishing.
Oh, is it?
Right there. She's only in it for like 3 minutes.
They should have bothered looking.
And Kiefer Sutherland finds she's been buried alive by Jeff Bridges. Spoilers.
I'm sure it's called Breakdown.
Yes, I think it's called Breakdown.
Yeah.
Breakdown's very good. Also, The Thing, one of the greatest films ever.
One of the greatest horror films ever made. I totally agree with you there.
Yeah, and a remake. Probably the best remake ever.
And one of the great films you can watch with your family, Overboard.
That's the one I meant. When I said swept away, I meant Overboard.
That's what you meant.
And what's it called? The superhero high school film that was actually surprising.
Superhero High or something like that.
Yeah, what was it called? Something High, isn't it?
Something High. Super High.
High School.
He's the coach of the...
Sky High.
That's surprisingly good.
So we should clarify, the reason why The Thing is so good is because there's no CGI in it. That's why it's so good. And it's a good story, and it's amazingly well... put together, but the fact is there's no CGI, it's all proper,
still stands up today,
it's all just animatronics and gubbins.
I'm going to take us back to the documentary.
Yeah,
so Kurt Russell's dad was an actor, which I didn't really know about before,
called Bing Russell.
Yes, and he was famous particularly for being, he was like a character actor who was in, like, you know, he got killed over 100 and something times.
Oh,
in
Bonanza.
And he was a sheriff in Bonanza.
He was a sheriff in Bonanza, but he said in Westerns he was actually killed over 700 times in his career. But he used to tell people 140 because they didn't believe him when he said 700.
That's how DeForest Kelly started.
So he was...
Bones in Star Trek, sorry.
Yeah. He was working... on Bonanza for 13 years and he finished and he wasn't really doing anything. But prior to this, when he was a kid, and I mean the links in this film are incredible in the documentary. He was the bat boy for the New York Yankees.
Right.
And the New York Yankees, I mean, baseball isn't as big over here, everyone's heard of the Yankees. Davies just walked off to get buddy.
So I followed him.
He was the bat boy. So he was the guy who used to give the bats out to really famous baseball players like Joe DiMaggio and Lou.
Oh, is that what a bat boy is? Blank needed filling in my mind.
He was the one who just gives out the bats and organises that.
Almost
like the guy, the kid on the boat, the cabin boy in the boat.
It's like a caddy.
Yeah, but for baseball.
Baseball caddy.
And he was a bat boy to all these baseball stars and he got really into it. And so he'd always loved baseball. Then baseball's not like normal football over here where you've got the different divisions, the Premiership and then the Championship, the MLB. In baseball, they've got the Major League. And they've got all these minor leagues, which are almost like feeder teams for the other teams. So they're not, no independent team. So I play for...
Right.
It would be like playing for like the Liverpool, you know...
Liverpool Dodgers.
Liverpool Toilet Gritters, or something like that.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, they have similar affiliations over here, but it's not...
they're just feeder clubs. So you've got like AAA, AA and A League. So you almost get drafted and you move through the leagues. So you can have your, you can be in this, supporting this independent team.
So it's sewn up basically. There's no way in.
You have to go through these independent leagues, but you lose if you're really good. You'll just lose that player. They'll go up. Oh, Liverpool come get him. So he in the '70s he formed a team that was independent.
Right.
So all the other sides, there weren't any independent teams anymore, were affiliated to these major league clubs. So he just made this baseball team.
Well, it was Portland, Oregon, wasn't it? Where they lost their team, as is possible in America and not over here. I don't believe, anyway. It's not happened. Where the team just gets sold to another town and just up.
The most famous thing is the Brooklyn Dodgers, you might have heard about. They've just moved to Los Angeles.
Yeah,
which is, so it's like Liverpool going, oh, we're going to move to the Isle of Wight.
And the New York Jets are down in Yeovil now.
Yeah, you're Jets and really Yeovil Jets.
Yeovil
yeah.
Jets.
They changed the name. They changed the name as well.
Don't they often get taken over by companies as well? So they're just known as Kit Kat United. I know it's a really ridiculous...
No, I mean, that,
some of the stadiums are called
York
that.
City,
yeah.
York City was Bootham Crescent, and now it's Kit Kat Crescent. That is true. But in order to know where to go to the matches, the address is still Kit Kat Crescent, Bootham Crescent, because Kit Kat Crescent isn't a street.
So. No, of course. I really hope there's some of those just the Walnut Whip Stadiums, just somewhere.
I like to play there.
Welcome to Rolos, you know, something like that. Anyway, carry
They're
on.
Quite nice names. So he set this independent team and then got all these players who were just, who've been rejected, all the has-beens.
Right.
A bit like the Expendables, but with baseball players. People who hadn't quite made it.
So a misfit motley crew.
Yeah, exactly. All the guys who were too drunk and mad.
You can't play with us, you're a maverick.
And it was called the Mavericks.
And they went on to be really good. And they got the most watched independent team.
Fans loved them, didn't they?
Yeah, all the fans came along. Everyone went mental. It was really, really rowdy atmosphere.
Let's not tell people how it ends if they want to listen to it, because it is a story, isn't it?
Some of the people in it go on to do...
Horrible
paedophiles.
Incredible.
It's like everything from the 1970s.
But it is a great story, isn't it? It's one of those, you know, sort of... it would be a fictional sports film if it wasn't true. You know, it's one of those, you know...
Well, someone's talking about making a film about it. I can't say who, because he's...
He's in the room.
Yeah. His buddy.
So they're going to make a movie of it, even though it's a perfectly good...
I think they could make a good film, though.
Yeah.
Make a good film. But there was something about it which was done quite cheaply by Netflix. It looked like they just got a load of old people in the room with the same white background.
Right.
I think it could have been a better documentary.
I felt it was really interesting to hear about Bing Russell and the history of this club that I hadn't heard about before. You know, that was all very interesting. It felt very almost one-sided in that, because this was being told by, you got the feeling it was only being told because Kurt Russell was involved in some way. You see.
Oh, I see.
So it is unequivocally positive about Bing Russell, and you don't get to hear anything else other than he was a god. And there's sort of...
Are you trying to slag off Bing Russell, mate?
No, I'm not. I'm just saying that made it actually a bit one-note, and therefore it dragged a bit in the middle, because all you were hearing was over and over again what a hero he was.
So they don't mention the leather panic room, the penchant for buggery.
But maybe he was purely a great man, but that doesn't make an interesting story necessarily.
No, he needs his flaws, doesn't he?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And we didn't get to hear about the flaws of the players, but we kept being told, sort of with a nod and a wink, oh, they were awful people.
Yeah, yeah.
But we never get to hear anything about them, you know.
Oh, he used to beat his wife every night.
Other than, you know, he was really good at playing baseball, you know. So I feel actually a film might be able to show a bit more of the story if they're allowed to.
I think the story was better than the documentary.
What did you think of it? Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
Is it worth watching? How many tries do you give it out of...
How many, in baseball?
I don't know anything about sport. I really don't know...
How many runs? I give it...
Runs.
6 runs.
Out of...
10.
3. Okay.
Yeah, I'd probably 6 as well.
6 runs.
Yeah, 6 runs.
Yeah, maybe 5 in a walk.
6 hits.
Yeah.
But
it's just complicated rounders, isn't it?
Yeah, a bit
like
that.
Yeah, basically.
It's really boring to watch. I've been watching a bit lately. It's really dull.
See, I have to say, I find every sport dull to watch.
In baseball...
I don't even have a little sort of Achilles heel, like, oh no, I'll watch the skiing. Can't stand any of it. I like swimming by myself, non-competitive.
That's quite nice, isn't it?
It's lovely. But it's like being in another world, Merrick.
It is when you get you under the water.
It's like being in a wet outer space.
It's got plasters and spiders in it.
Well, just see the corn plaster as a comet idly making its way down to the shallow end.
Of shit. Strange warm patches.
I really tried to engage myself with sport, and I can't do it. And therefore, it's weird, because movies like that, I necessarily wouldn't.
So can you get into sort of like Any Given Sunday or The Natural or any of these?
No, I found it very hard.
Escape to Victory.
No, I hate that. That's
really?
Beautiful. Yeah. The only one I like is The Champ, because he dies and the kid has to deal with it.
Spoilers!
Have you ever seen that film?
Oh, it's a great
John Boyd?
Great film. Yeah, John Boyd.
I love you, Champ! And he's dead.
I quite like
that bit.
So, The Running Man.
Well, that's not about sport.
You could say it is a little bit.
I love the soundtrack to The Running Man.
Rollerball.
Death Race. 2000.
No.
The original. No.
No. Mad Max alike. That's not sport, though, is it?
No, that's not.
New sport. One looks good, though. Trailer for.
Yeah.
That looks
who's
like fun.
Who's playing Mad Max?
Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy. Yeah, I don't.
But I say that, but every time we play a casting game, he's got such range. You can just go, I cast Tom Hardy.
Oh, I see.
You
can he's believe.
Good, he's got that range. You can believe he'd do it.
He'd make a good Tinkerbell.
Ages yeah. and ages ago, we cast him as Bond, didn't we?
Did you?
Yeah, he was.
Well, you're not
Bond.
Far off with Daniel Craig.
Daniel Craig,
no. Big beefed up Bond.
Yeah, big beefy Bond.
Beefy Bond.
Talking of the casting game,
yeah,
we were going to ask you to do a casting game, pick a casting game for us. Someone's playing a guitar in the background. I was enjoying that.
What was your original casting game? Because I don't know what this is.
We play a game when we have guessing, when we recast three parts.
Basically, we cast the remake of a famous film.
Brilliant.
If we're making it now. And we get our guests to judge. But you told us about an interesting game you play. So yes. Why don't we have a bit of a go?
All right. Here? Well, this is a game that I play with my two comedy performer friends, Dan and Jeremy. And it starts off as a gentle, fun, drinking, talking game and has literally ended in blood and tears and bruises. This is only going to work if you happen to be an aficionado of the British series known as the Carry On series, which are smutty, innuendo-based, very childish humour, really. So what we do is we would take a well-known film, let's say, for example, any of the films from the Star Trek series.
Okay. Rathacan, should we say?
Let's say Rathacan, which is the best in the canon, absolutely. And then you start casting it with members of the Carry On team. So the idea is the Carry On team are all still together, and they're making Carry On, Star Trek 2, Wrath of Khan. Because he wouldn't be called Khan, he'd be called Ken, something like that. Yeah.
Wrath of Khan.
And it would be Star Trek, it'd be Star Trek.
Yeah.
And, you know, it'd be
called, angry.
Yeah, and it'd be called the Enterprise P. Because yeah. They all P, you know the idea. But so what you got to do now is you start going, right, well, who is your Captain Kirk?
Well, that's got to be...
I would go for Bernard Breslau.
But no. Kirk. See, you've immediately
broke
gone out
Sid
of kilter
James.
In this game.
Sid James
is your captain. But you also, sorry, the way this game works...
He's got your personality, Sid James, right?
No, but the way this game works is you've got to look at the roles that they play throughout the Carry On film.
Oh, so
now your Bernard Breslau was always third fiddle.
Yes.
And he was very rarely to take centre stage. He was always told what to do by Sid.
Yeah.
Then who is going to be Dr. Bones McCoy in this? Who's the emotional side of Sid James's psyche?
It would be not who is the one with glasses.
No, that's you can't like have Kenneth. You can't have Charlie Hawtrey. You can't have him.
Oh, okay.
No, I mean, I'm sorry.
If we were doing Star Wars, Charles Hawtrey would be C-3PO
without a doubt. And Peter Butterworth probably R2-D2. Because they would the bounce off
although
each
Cribbins
other.
Would be quite good
Cribbo
at that.
Could do it.
But anyway, back to Robert
Scott. Scotty. Cribbins would be Scotty, right?
Yes.
Yes, good.
It could be Scotty. I'm more erring down towards Terry and June. what's he called?
June Whitfield.
June Whitfield. Yeah. What's he called? June Whitfield. You know, it gets very difficult, unfortunately, if there's lots of females in the film. Luckily, it's Star Trek, so there's only Uhura. So that's Barbara. That's Babs
Windsor.
Blacked up.
Yes, of course.
Unfortunately.
Of course.
Can you do that?
Spock could... What? In a Carry On film?
Yeah, he can
Spock
in a Carry On film.
Would
yeah.
be...
Because they only knew one black person during the Carry On movies. That was Kenny Lynch. And he only was in one film.
Spock would be
Spock's
would be Kenneth Williams.
Could be Kenneth Williams, yeah. All sarcastic and, Captain, no.
Although, Hawtrey...
Or he could be the villain.
Hawtrey could play
Patty Jenks would be the villain, right? Because he always plays the matron.
Yeah, but sometimes he's quite nice as well. See, I'm thinking the villain in this, you could have, probably would be Charlie Hawtrey. Because when they first meet Khan, it'd be, oh, hello.
Do they play the villains themselves in these things?
Sometimes, yeah.
I'm
sometimes.
Trying to think when that's happened.
Sometimes. Now, you got Chekhov. Now, Chekhov, because he's spoken COD Russian in Star Trek,
yes.
This is a perfect role for the guy who would always do
that. Oh, just the gibberish.
And I'm trying to remember what he was called.
What is he in?
Oh, he is perfect. He's in Hot Fuzz as well.
Is he?
Yes, I'm pretty sure.
What's he
sure.
called? I keep forgetting his name. It's he always in the Carry On films would always go, and like sort of have like a twitch.
When was the first Carry On film?
Oh, crikey, 50s? Yeah, it might have been late 50s. The Carry On Sergeant is the very first one.
Because okay. Weirdly, yeah, because you
and
you
then
watch
Teacher
it,
and Spy.
And it feels like Carry On Regardless is the first one because of the title.
Yes.
But it isn't.
No, it's not. No,
1958, Carry On Sergeant.
There you go, 58, yeah.
And what's your favourite? I mean, the most favourite are Carry On at the Kyber, aren't they? Carry On
Carry
Doctor?
On the Kyber. I'm quite a fan of Carry On Dick, the Dick Turpin one, only because... basically the entire plot revolves around that he's got a birthmark on his cock. And they need to identify that, so they keeps going into urinals.
Is it called Carry On Dick?
Carry On Dick, yeah, that's the Dick Turpin one. And every they're trying to explain that he's got a birthmark on his willy, but because they can't say willy or anything like that,
yeah,
they keep whispering into someone's ear, and they have a little harpsichord sound effect that goes fiddle-liddle-lid, and it just makes me fall on the floor every time. And then the other person will go, well, I don't think it's him. It can't be the woodsman. He's the only one with a chopper. And they go, no, that's not what I mean. And then you get infuriated and you go, why don't you just say penis? So much easier. We are really going into different places.
I forgot that Roy Castle was in some of them.
Roy Castle's in Khyber and he's in one other. Oh, that's the other thing. You can only cast people from the Carry On films in your new movie if they've been in a Carry On film twice or more.
Have you seen all Carry On films?
I have indeed, yeah. I think so.
I thought it was Ron Cook, but I think I'm wrong.
No. Him, it's some. This is ridiculous. I can't remember his name. The Footway. He always used to have a pint of beer and then he'd go, Footway.
Do you still watch them?
If they're on television, which they often are on ITV4, maybe. Sometimes I do. It depends which one it is. I like the music a lot.
They're
as well.
Still on at Christmas, aren't they?
So the three recommended for non Carol listeners.
In fact, ITV.
Carol Khyber.
That's a lovely way in.
Yeah,
that's a lovely way
it's
in.
It's a good one, isn't
it's
it?
It's a lovely way in.
I'm a big fan of Carry On Spying.
Oh, there you go.
Old black and white one.
Doesn't Babs have photographic memory and she blinks and they do these sound effects
of a camera shutter?
Camera shutter, yeah.
And it's got a lot of cribbins and you can't go wrong with a lot of cribbins.
He's also in Carry On Jack as well, I think.
Yeah.
I do like the more historical ones. I like Carry On Don't Lose Your Head with the black fingernail.
Oh, I remember him, yeah.
I like that. That's good. That's
I haven't seen
all
for years.
Deal. Anyway,
so scarred my memory.
So that game basically is you cast Carry On members to films, and that's you sort of know how it goes. But you can get into real proper debates about whether Bernard Breslau is an acceptable Scotty, or whether it should be Peter Butterworth, or whether.
I mean, I can't pick a Khan amongst them. You see,
I would go with someone like it's hard, isn't it? But the people who would often play villains or more so would be your Kenneth Williams. But then if he's Spock,
I mean, you need someone with a force of will to be Spock, don't you?
You do.
You need someone as large as Kenneth Williams to play that.
I mean, Bernard Breslau's got the listen. He's got the weight.
You need elegance though for Spock. You need elegance.
Khan is supposed to be the most intelligent man, a product of late 20th engineering, and you've got 21st century engineering.
If Bernard Breslau voiced the Giddy Game Show.
I love the Giddy Game
then
Show.
Then you would be. You realise
Gus is ready.
He has a lot more rage.
I don't know if you've ever seen him do Hamlet.
You would have been great.
Breslau's Hamlet. Honestly, wonderful stuff. Oh, what's he called?
Frankie Howard as Khan.
Frankie Howard could be a good Khan. Oh, no. What? Oh! Yeah?
That would be good.
He could be quite good, isn't he? I'll chase him round.
I've never been a big fan of Frankie Howard.
Have you not?
My favourite of his is The House in Nightmare Park, which a lot of people have never seen. Really odd
is it a genuine horror? Is it
No. It's a comedy Hammer horror starring him. It's very, very funny.
What's he called again?
The House in Nightmare Park.
The House in Nightmare
very,
Park.
Very, very, very good.
And we should get on to your choice, the film that you brought in.
Yes,
this week.
Yes. Well, that's a game that you can play at home.
I want to play your game now. Can we do it really quick?
Not really, because we haven't prepared anything.
No, it takes...
Merrick gets really cross.
Oh, does he? I really want to play it. I want to see Merrick get cross.
We have to recast it. Yeah, we should have prepared beforehand.
All right,
A lot of preparation does go into this podcast.
that's a lie. You're just sat here in your pants.
No, okay, come on. They're not my pants.
Yeah. He has had to go miles to find these pants.
So you put in a film. Can you tell us about it, please?
I can indeed. I suggested a film that we all watch called What's Up, Doc?
What's it about?
Well, it's your basic comedy caper movie, really. It's about mistaken identity, not of people, but of four identical plaid, which is the American term for check, carry cases or suitcases. And that is the flimsiest premise of the film, and yet I absolutely love it. If someone asks me what is your favourite comedy film of all, I will immediately go straight up to What's Up, Doc.
And when was it made?
1972, directed by Peter Bogdanovich. It's a great name. He of Paper Moon and The Last Picture Show. That's two of his other films. So it's 1972, and I love the idea that I I'm in love with a comedy film starring Barbara Streisand, which I never thought would ever happen. It was a nightmare to get hold of a copy back in the days when I wanted a copy, because it was only available if you got a Barbara Streisand box set. So you had to get it with Yentl and Funny Face, which I never wanted. So I bought the box set, burnt it onto a thing, and then gave it back to HMV years ago, going, oh, no, I don't want that. No, my mum's dead now, she ain't going to watch it. So that was the only way to get a copy. It's still, I still don't think it's on general release, as in you can just buy it.
Yeah, you can get it. You can get it on iTunes and Google Play and all of these digital ones now. Yeah. But
No, I want it in the fancy packaging.
I realised I've never seen a Barbara Streisand film by watching this.
There you go, strange. And
she's really good.
She's stunning in it, and she's hilarious.
She's always good, though.
Do you think?
I think. Why did I watch it? I watched the one with her in a car with what's his name. What she did recently.
Oh, that's terrible. Is that Seth Rogen driving a...
I thought this was going to be awful. My expectations were so low.
Ooh.
And that was when you watch on Netflix and go, do you know what? I think I was ill. You know when you're ill? Were you
delirious?
You're almost delirious. You're just on soup. And you just want to... It's an effort just to click the button on Netflix and go, I'll watch that. And then I can't be bothered.
Next time you're on soup, watch soup. That's what I said.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. But
did you?
What's Up, Doc? I think is quite an interesting jigsaw puzzle piece in the history of comedy in film, because doing a bit of reading, it revived the screwball comedy, as they called it, from the 30s.
Absolutely.
And this is actually pretty much a remake of Bringing Up Baby.
Almost, yeah. Almost exactly.
Inspired by, is what they say. But the tagline on the poster was something along the lines of, it's a screwball comedy, remember those?
Fantastic.
This has a lot of the same cast members that would, 2 years later, be in Mel Brooks's films.
Well, that's... There you go, because Mel Brooks turned up to the actual filming of it.
Right.
He was a good friend of Peter Bogdanovich and literally poached Madeline Kahn, yes. Kenneth Mars,
yes.
And my other favourite, Liam Dunn, who plays the sheriff in Blazing Saddles. He plays, I think, my favourite character in What's Up, Doc. He plays the judge at the end, who has... And the reason why I like this film is, A, because it's a screwball comedy and there's lots of wonderful sight gags, but also it reminds me of it's like a fast-talking film. It's full of wonderful language moments, hilarious bits of comedy language. And my favourite bit is the judge, where he's saying to the bailiff of the court, he takes out a vial full of pills, and he goes, and the judge and the bailiff goes, what are they? And he goes, they're my yellow pills. He goes, do you want to know what they're for? And the bailiff goes, no. He goes, to remind me to take the blue pills. And then takes the blue pills out. And then the bailiff goes, what are the blue pills for? And he goes, I don't know. They won't tell me. And it just makes me laugh so much.
Oh, I really hate it.
Did you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, no.
It. It's just it's just weird. I mean, what?
It's not weird.
What is Barbara Streisand doing anyway? She latches on to Ryan O'Neill, who was a sort of good-looking hunk.
Yeah.
Maybe in later days was a good-looking hunk thing at the time, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's Barry Lyndon. And in fact, there's a he's from, what's it called? Love Story, is it?
Love Story, yes.
That he was in when he was younger. And the almost final line of this movie takes the piss out of it.
Yes.
Where she says, being in love means never have to say you're sorry. Yeah, and he says, that's the biggest load of rubbish I've ever heard.
The dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Why did you loathe it so much? Because I loved it.
I thought Barbara Streisand was really great. The tone of it was just weird.
That's why I love it.
It didn't make me laugh. It's so odd. I mean, it's refreshing in the fact there's nothing else. It feels from a different age. I found early 70s.
Lovely. I think is probably the word. I think, personally, and it is just a personal thing with comedy, isn't it? But I think Mel Brooks has bettered the formula 2 years later, because I adore Blazing Saddles and the producers, you know, so much.
Absolutely.
But I did find this thoroughly enjoyable.
I didn't find it funny in the slightest.
Oh my God, really? I think the first line off the bat is one of the funniest things I've ever seen. And also, this is Madeline Kahn's first ever film.
First
time she's ever been in it.
It's really,
and she just plays this nagging, unnecessary...
She's great.
And she's stunning in it. And the first shot is just her walking with Ryan O'Neill out of an airport. And he's got the most vacant look on his face. And she doesn't stop talking for 5 minutes, going, we got to do this. And he just goes, yes, Eunice. And we got to do that. Yes, Eunice. And we got to do this. Yes, Eunice. And then she turns to the cabbie and goes, put that in the back. And the cabbie just goes, yes, Eunice. Like he's known her for 40 years. Oh dear, it makes me laugh so much. And lines like, I'm not repeating myself, oh my god, I'm repeating myself, I just love.
But you're doing it better than they did in the film.
I thought
the film was all, it was just,
do you?
It felt like there was a really bad,
trying too
it
hard.
Felt like it was a really bad Jewish, outdated Jewish comedian doing jokes in an empty stage, and felt really awkward.
Really?
I thought Madeline Kahn was really great. I mean, you recognise
Madeline Kahn is in Blazing Saddles, where she plays, she's the German singing woman who is fantastic.
Tired of being the girl.
Isn't she the secretary? She plays a lot of receptionists and secretaries later on, as she's got older. Isn't that Ferris Bueller's Day Off? Is she there?
No. I don't think that's her. She's in the film which I also really love called Clue, which
Tim Curry.
Tim Curry, and you've also got the other person who I will often confuse Madeline Kahn with, Eileen Brennan,
maybe
another hilarious comedy actress who does brilliant parts.
She's in Young Frankenstein as well, man.
Yes.
Mel Brooks really did go, yep, I'll have you.
Yeah, he literally turned up on set and just cherry-picked. I love the ridiculous chase sequence through the streets of San Francisco.
Well, funnily enough, again...
And the window-breaking scene, I think it might have been the first time I'd ever seen that sort of thing.
It isn't the first to do the guys with the pane of glass back and forth,
no.
Is it? But it
feels like it.
It feels like it.
Maybe my memory of it is because I think... I remember my mum and dad used to... Like it was like an emergency comedy thing to keep me quiet when I was young. And they just stick it in. They had it on VHS.
I've read some good things about the car chase. Go
ahead. It was one of the most expensive things that they filmed as well. They blew over a third of the budget just on the car chase.
Well,
they also
didn't
have permission for a lot of it. When they go down the stairs, those famous steps in San Francisco, they didn't have permission at all. And the damage, you see them smash the stairs to bits.
Yeah.
That damage is still there in San Francisco.
Really?
Because it would be so expensive to repair.
Oh my god, I'm about to go now.
And another one where they smash into a parked car.
Yeah.
The director just got them to rent two cars and make sure that they got ticked the box for crash insurance, and then just smash them and return them.
My word, no.
Yeah.
But there's a bit where they smash the hell out of a VW thing, and that's Ryan and his brother.
Yes.
Who comes out to open the door and just collapses. It's also, I'll tell you the other reason why I love it, there's a bit where Ryan O'Neill just looks to us directly at the camera and goes, help. And it's the first time I think I'd ever seen that type of comedy where the barrier's been broken. He just looks at us out of our television and just goes, help.
And Mel Brooks uses that.
Mel Brooks uses it, but this has been done before.
It's
1972 as well.
I think it is hugely influential as well, not just in the fact Mel Brooks stole it and then turned it into other things. But, I watched recently, serendipitously, a film called House Sitter.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a 90s Steve Martin and Goldie Hawn film, which is very similar, because Goldie Hawn just sees this guy, decides he's a bit of a mark, and lies her way into his life.
Right.
Which is exactly like Barbara Streisand and this. But again, is... somehow manages to be utterly charming. If the gender roles were reversed, it would be one of the most sinister things you've ever watched. In fact, that was another thing. What's Up Doc was going to be a gender reversed version of Bringing Up Baby, and Elliot Gould was going to play the Barbara Streisand role.
Oh my
and
word!
Apparently, he fell out with the director, and so the project got scrapped, and then it got started again.
Wow!
With his ex-wife Barbara Streisand in the role.
Oh my word!
But yeah, it was going to be this lying, conniving man worming his way into a woman's
which would be so unacceptable by today's terms, wouldn't it? But back then, it's fine for a woman to just completely ruin a man's life in a slightly funny way.
If you're sort
surely
of
married.
Pretty and lovely,
but it doesn't make sense at all.
It does make
sense.
It follows its own twisted, silly logic. That's the point.
That doesn't make sense, you're saying.
But films made of that era, I mean, if you start questioning, I mean, Star Wars doesn't make sense. It's
Yeah, but at least there's some sort of reasoning behind it.
The only unreasoning behind it is actually Barbara Streisand, because she's just appeared to just become a maniac in someone's life.
Yeah,
but everyone else has got a reason to be at the hotel with their carry cases.
Yeah.
One's got stolen jewels. No, one's got jewels in, one's got top secret plans in, and they're all nicking each other's things. The bit in the hotel drugstore where Ryan O'Neill was first met Barbara Streisand is just being really sort of persistent with him. He just wanders off.
Yeah, you just go, you're mentally ill.
I'm
going to call the police unless you stop.
But you could watch any film and do that, couldn't you? You could just don't go. Don't
it
go
works
down to the
because
cellar.
He's so henpecked and so used to doing what he's told. And she is actually more powerful than Eunice, but actually
there's a woman named Eunice
is kinder than Eunice, yeah. And that's why you're okay with her being basically psychopathic.
It does seem right off the bat a crazy woman is just dropped and she just destroys everything.
Yeah.
But that's sort of the point, because then she reveals right at the end when the judge goes, "You seem to have caused all this." She's got the blanket over her head and she takes off the blanket and goes, "Hello, Daddy."
Yeah.
He's like, "Oh, it's my own daughter." But the bit in the what I like about it, is just the playful tone of some of the humour. When he goes into the drugstore, he's got a headache to buy the pills. He puts the Barbra Streisand puts a radio on the counter when he's across the shop. And the guy rings it up as $58. And then Ryan O'Neill comes to the counter and puts this tiny little bottle of headache pills down. So he rings that through and he goes, "That'll be $58.90. And then you just see Ryan O'Neill looking at these pills. And then he just says, "How much is it without the buffering?" I just love that. I love the idea that he genuinely thinks for a moment that it's going to cost him $58.
Oh.
But listen, if you hate it, you hate it.
I just didn't find it funny. I found it annoying.
I love it.
It is... sort of watchable, and there's so much going on.
I enjoyed it. I did enjoy it.
I love it.
I think it is tonally the same as Death Race 2000, actually. if you took out the hyper violence, it's got that similar, like, this, we're doing this, people are doing things simply because it is silly and enjoyable, therefore yeah. That's what their characters will do, you know.
Yes,
Death
exactly.
Race 2000 was Sylvester Stallone, the bloke from the karate
David Brass Carradine yeah, yeah.
In nothing.
Watch
totally
it again.
Similar.
You'll see what I mean.
Just watch it again with your eyes closed.
Yeah.
And see, obviously the Mel Brooks connection is so strong,
yes.
Because tonally as well, but also cherry picking Kenneth Myers and all the Kenneth Myers, of course, is just stunning in this film as well. But
and he
I have
plays
a problem.
The pigeon obsessed
yes,
Nazi
the
in
mad,
the producers.
Yes, and in what he's also the policeman, isn't he? With the false arm in Young Frankenstein.
Yes,
who can't play the darts, so he just makes a sound effect. I just love, but Mel Brooks, I do genuinely think made 5 good films, and that's your lot.
I think Blazing Saddles is incredible.
Of course,
the producers,
of course,
equally so. Young Frankenstein is great.
Now it starts getting hard.
His transition film towards making rubbish is Spaceballs.
Yeah.
And then post Spaceballs, it's terrible. What do you think else is good?
I think I quite like The History of the World.
Oh, I've not seen that one.
Oh, that, you've got to see that. That's got Clea Ruckus, Kenny Everett's big busting cohort, who gets molested by him without touching. He doesn't touch her, he just walks past her and she goes, "Oh!" And then he looks directly into the camera and goes, "It's good to be king." It's just
is
really,
that
and
where
Spike
it's
Milligan's
good to
in
be
it.
King comes from?
That's where
because
it comes
it's in
from.
Every film of his.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Mel Brooks walks around touching up women without using his hands,
right?
Which is a bit like Michael Horden does in Up Pompeii.
Yes,
And he walks past, dresses the king, and then all the women go, "Oh!" And he just looks at the camera, and goes, "It's good to be king." It's brilliant. But The History of the World is just lots of individual plots of
right.
different timescales with him just making endless jokes about being Jewish. There you go. But Spike Milligan's in it, so that's always
all
fun
right.
to have a bit of Spike. That's when it gets hard, because after that,
Robin Hood,
all,
Men in Tights.
That's
Robin
a dreadful,
Tights.
Dreadful film. Apart from the bit where they're married and they're walking down through the church and
Hey, I bet.
Yes. What is that? I still don't understand what it means. And it's the funniest thing I've ever seen. No, he goes looks at the camera, and goes, "I hate that guy."
Yeah.
It's just like walking down through a church and morning, Abbott, morning, and the black guy's, "Hi, Abbott," and he just goes, "I hate that guy." But that's it. All his other films are dreadful.
Yeah,
dreadful.
Dracula, Dead.
That's the
again.
Worst film ever. Oh. But it has. But I must admit, I am guilty of buying films because I like 2 minutes of something. And I won't sit through the film. I'll just watch that bit I like. Stupid, I'll just go on YouTube, really.
Yeah,
but
YouTube
I'll
for,
buy
yeah.
the film. But, Dracula Dead and Loving It is a dreadful, beyond dreadful film, apart from one gag, which I just think is a genius gag. It's where Jonathan Harker turns up at Transylvania in a carriage, winds down the window, and there's all these peasants looking at him, and he goes, "Excuse me, I wonder if you can help me. I'm on schedule to meet Dracula." And then there's close-ups of the peasants. "Dracula?" And it goes to the next one. "Dracula?" And the next one, "Dracula?" And the last one goes, "Schedule." Worth it for that.
That's good.
We don't have to watch it now.
No,
no
we don't.
I'm sorry I put you through that, Merrick.
No, I think it was interesting. Anyway, I'm just surprised that...
I like it.
Because on IMDb it's got a really high rating. That must be just me being a grumpy.
It's regularly in the top 100 comedies of all time. Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Good. What is your favourite comedy, can I ask? Or is it hard? I know it's really hard to come up with number one of all time because it changes, I think.
I Blazing Saddles is up there.
You like Cheaper by the Dozen too, don't you?
No. I like things like Kingpin, I quite like.
Oh, yes, yes.
Depends what you class as comedy.
Three Men and a Little Lady.
Is Ghostbusters a comedy?
It's comedic.
Comedy drama.
Yeah.
Laugh Out Loud.
Laugh Out Loud, because I don't think they make Laugh Out Loud anymore.
21 Jump Street. Step Brothers, recently.
I like the other guys as well.
I would still always revert back to 60s and 70s comedy as my...
Oh, yeah, I think if I had to...
As the funniest things ever.
If I had to pick the funniest film I've ever seen, it would be a fight between Life of Brian and Blazing Saddles.
Yeah, I see that.
I prefer Blazing Saddles.
Do you?
Yeah. What about you?
What's Up, Doc? Is my genuinely favourite comedy film.
Incredible.
I know. And then I like Best in Show a lot.
Oh, that's good.
I know, it's really true.
You know, off someone when you find...
I must admit, though, Best in Show, and then again, trails off miserably, because the last two or three they made are frankly embarrassing, I think. The one with Ricky Gervais made me want to spit fire and blood, and other things too.
Everybody gets rubbish towards the
end. But Ricky doesn't think so.
Well, on that note, thank you for joining us.
Pleasure. Thank you for having me. Sorry,
would you like to
on a bit.
Plug anything?
Just the immersion. I did that joke earlier and Merrick didn't laugh. I do podcasts, so, you know, it's three men who talk about Carry On films in different situations and do sketches and songs.
What's it called? And,
well, the podcast is called Potom, and don't ask why, because we don't know.
How do you spell that?
Potom, but it must be capital P, capital O, capital T, capital O, small m. Potom. We don't know what it means. We just put it into that Google random thing, and that's what we called ourselves. But we used to be we are called The Trap. That's our comedy name. So if you go to www.thetrap.co.uk, all our old stuff called Sodcasts are up there, including a 9-hour soap opera. Soap opera called Event Horizon Crescent, which is a science fiction soap opera.
And you did 9 hours.
We did nine hours of it over about 5 years because it was a regular bit. So it's nearly 9 hours of it. I could be lying, it could be seven.
Okay.
But it's we have characters called like Pale Blue Dot Cotton and stuff like that, and it's just a ridiculous soap opera. That was a Trap Sodcast. Now we do Potom. It's on the same website.
Great.
Thank you.
And what's your Twitter thingy? Have you done that?
Yeah, I've done all that. But we do all of this for free. So if you would like to donate towards the podcast, then you can go to filmfandango.co.uk and follow the link from there. And thank you for everyone who already has.
Yeah.
We would not be here without you. We'll be back next week with more films.
Keep watching.
Watching the films. Bye.
Films, bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.